Turn, if you would, we're going to read three verses this morning, and we're going to pray and get into the message. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we're going to read verse 17 together. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. All together. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. All together. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Then turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. All together. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for this subject that I'll be addressing this morning. Help us, dear God, to have hearts that are hungry and lives, dear God, built upon the sure foundation of the Word of God. Help our faith to increase. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, to please God, we must have faith in him. Now, no father would ever be pleased with a son who refused to trust and believe in him. And no married spouse is pleased when the one they said I do to is constantly questioning their faithfulness and love. Now, we were born again by faith in Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, salvation isn't something we earn. It is simply receiving God's gift of eternal life that was purchased in full by Christ's finished work on Calvary. You may wonder what saving faith involves. Well, the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, 31, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This means we need to accept the deity of Christ, for he is Lord, he is God. It includes claiming him as Savior, as the one who took your sin and gives you perfect righteousness, and that he alone is appointed by God the Father to save your guilty soul. After being born again, we are to continue living by faith. And the Apostle Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then we read this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The just, you say, who's that? That's those who are saved. It goes on to say, the just shall live by faith. Our Christian walk is by faith. For we are told this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now the battles of life, they're also won by faith. In a word to young Timothy, Paul tells his son in the faith how to ward off evil. And so he writes this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We believers overcome the powers of the world and the devil by faith. 1 John 5, 4 reads, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now the Bible tells us that we will have battles to fight as we face the evils of this world, and they only can all be overcome by faith. Now think about the statements made about faith in the Word of God. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. In Hebrews 11, 1, it tells us this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Then in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Then this is what is written in James 1, 5 through 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, you have a whole chapter devoted to the subject of faith. And since we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please God, this sermon is going to be very practical. And it will be on how to have faith. How to have faith. You may wonder, just what is faith? Well, someone wrote this. Faith is the eye by which we look to Jesus. A dim-sighted eye is still an eye. Faith is the hand by which we lay hold of Jesus. A trembling hand is still a hand. Faith is a tongue by which we taste how good the Lord is. A sore tongue is nevertheless a tongue. Faith is a foot by which we go to Jesus. A lame foot is still a foot. I believe faith is simply this. It's taken God at his word. As far as our text verse says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And what? Hearing by the word of God. In the gospel records alone, you read of many things regarding faith. For example, faith can be seen. It was said of our Lord in Luke chapter 5, verse 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, Jesus was able to detect the faith of the men and of the paralytic who were brought to him. Now, you remember the house was full where Jesus was teaching. And so they go up on the roof. They tear the roof off. And they let that man down, that paralytic down to Jesus. And Jesus looks up and he sees their faith. He saw the faith that these guys had, knowing that if they just brought this man to Jesus, everything would be all right. Jesus speaks of this very thing when he says, even so faith, if it hath not works, or James speaks of this very thing, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. It is indicated in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, that when faith isn't acted upon, we will fail. Jesus said of Simon Peter, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In Luke 8, 25, Jesus says to his frightened disciples, in the midst of a storm, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Now they thought they were all going to drown. The waves were crashing against the boat. The boat was filling up with water. But Jesus had already told them in verse 22 of that chapter, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. Now, because they failed to believe his word, he then asks them, where is your faith? As if to tell them that if it isn't what I have told you, it is definitely misplaced. It is obvious that many have a misplaced faith. Some have faith in themselves. And maybe that was the problem with the disciples on the boat that day. They thought, man, you know what? We can make it. You know what? We're going to be able to row there. And then the storm came and they were incapable of doing so. And they lost total faith in what Jesus had said. Some have faith in themselves and what they can do. And some, they have faith in past experiences. And that takes precedence over anything the Lord would have them do. Some have a trust in science. Recently, someone was trying to get me to believe that the earth is 4 billion years old. And they kind of were critical that I would believe that the earth was only 6,000 to 7,000 years old. And they were just saying, how foolish can you be? You know, it took 4 billion years. I said, where did you get that? Science. I said, oh, well, some scientists say it's 10 billion years old. Some will say 30. Some will say 40. I said, I find it very easy simply to believe what thus saith the Lord. And I said, I will put my trust in what the scriptures say over science any other day. They said, I can't believe you would do such a thing. I said, you know what? Let me tell you something. I survived the ice age that they told me was coming in fourth grade. And then I survived all this global warming that they said where I would be burned up. And where are those people that said we were only going to last 12 years? Where is AOC? Why isn't she still harping on that? I said, I survived the ozone layer thinning out. I survived all these tragedies science falsely so-called told me was going to happen. I said, I just happen to believe. I put my simple faith in what thus saith the Lord, and this is what I base my life on, and I believe it's true. Some put their faith in science. Others in wealth. Man, they just put their faith in what money can buy and how much they got and all these other things. Some happen to believe what some professor said. Whatever happened to what is written in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. And why is it we can't take God at his word when this is written in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45? There fail not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken. We are to rest upon the word of God for faith. You see, the Bible never changes. It's still true as it was when the day it was given. It's still holy. It's still infallible and inerrant, and it contains no mistake. This is our source of faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how are we to have faith? Well, we best read the Bible, or should I say at least hear the Bible. We must be familiar with the word of God. We need to learn it. We need to study it. We need to live it out and practice it. We need to go to churches where the whole counsel of God is preached. We need to listen with attentive ears to the truth being proclaimed. Every time service is being held, we should be in attendance with ears to hear and focus like a laser beam what thus saith the Lord. You may not be able to read well, maybe not even read at all, but you can come here and you can hear what the Bible says, and we need to hear and hear by faith to the written voice of God and believe every part of it. We need to do so without question, without doubt. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yes, it'll tell you what is true. It'll tell you where you're wrong, how to get corrected, and tell you how to stay corrected. You know, my heart goes out to those who doubt the word of God. For they place themselves in an awful condition. Their doubts do not indicate any wisdom on their part, even though their pride may think they are. but it only indicates their foolishness. Because this is God's word. Believe it and let it stand against your doubts. Faith kills worry, for no believer can worry and trust God at the same time. So believe the Bible and doubt your doubts, and never doubt the Bible and believe your doubts. Faith claims the promises of God. You know, the Bible becomes a new book when it is read or listened to by faith. There are 32,000 promises in the Bible. You say, preacher, did you count all them? No, I don't count that high. But that means there's just a whole lot of them in here. Whether there's 32,000, 30,000, 15,000, 40,000, it doesn't matter. There's a whole lot of them in there, and they need to be claimed by God's people. What I'm saying is there's plenty of them for you and me. In faith, read the scriptures and then claim the promises. Believe such promises as, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And realize, though you may separate yourself from him and you may separate yourself from the place of blessing, he will never leave you, but stay true to what he has promised. Believe the great prayer promise. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Yes, let's ask, let's seek, and let's knock, and we will receive, we will find, and it will be opened unto us as we open up our mouths wide for him to fill it. Believe God will supply our every need. For are we not told in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if we put God's will first, his righteousness first in our lives, he will be a father to us and take care of all that we have need of. Do you see that? Now, you can't claim that promise if those two things don't take place. And if you're not going to do those two things, that's why you struggle. That's why God's blessing's not upon you. That's why he doesn't take care of all of your needs. It's not his fault. It's whose? Ours. We fail to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We need to get faith from the Word of God. Number two, we get faith by praying for it. In Luke 17:5, one of our text verses, the apostles said unto the Lord, what? Increase our faith. How many of you pray that prayer? I do. I pray it every day. You know what? I don't always have the greatest faith. I wish I did have great faith. A lot of times I do, sometimes I don't. But I want God to increase my faith. In Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29, Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. That's where his deity seeped through his humanity. And when he comes down, he's approached by a father with his wild-eyed teenage boy. You say, preacher, how do you know he was a teenager? It doesn't say he was a teenager. Well, the Bible says he was a lunatic, possessed of a dumb spirit and full of the devil, and that's all I need to describe a teenage boy. And he was desperate, in need of what Jesus could do in his life. So the father asked Jesus to help him. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The father cries out, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine what? Unbelief. Did Jesus answer that prayer? Yes, he did. And the man's plea for faith in his son, and it came to pass that his son was cured after he asked for faith to believe. James tells us, you have not because you ask not. Now, we certainly recognize our need of faith. Now, let us come before the throne of grace and pray for our faith to increase. Prayer will increase our faith, and God will answer and give us the faith we need. Many believers have little faith. And sometimes they demonstrate no faith at all. They fail to trust God as they should. We need a great faith where the Word of God is enough for us to believe. In Matthew chapter 8, we read of a centurion. He's beseeching Jesus on behalf of a servant who was palsied and grievously tormented. When the Lord says, "I will come and heal him," the centurion tells Jesus, "Listen, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed." When Jesus heard what the centurion had to say, he told those that followed him, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Did you see that? You don't have to come. You just say it, and I'll believe it, and it'll take place. We should be praying for a faith as great as the centurion's, as well as those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, for there we read of the faith of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Sarah, as they all simply took God at his word. Paul was a man of mature faith. His faith sustained him through fiery trials, strengthened him in his weakness, and kept him in the race when others had dropped out. This man, at the end of his life, just prior to having his head removed from his body, could say this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." If we have faith, it comes from God's word. And we need to pray for an increase of faith. And then thirdly, in this matter of how to have faith, we must use our faith. We must use our faith. You know, we got a lot of believers out there say they believe certain things, but they don't put it into practice. They don't prove God whether his word is true or not. We need to use our faith. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, we are told, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Then Jesus answered with, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Now, most of us, we believe it takes a mountain of faith to move a mustard seed. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It says a grain of a mustard seed. Doesn't say you even need a whole mustard seed. But we don't even have that at times. You say, what was Jesus trying to get across to the apostles? He's simply saying this, use your faith. Use your faith. In Luke chapter 5, we have the story of Jesus teaching the people on the shore of Lake Gennesaret. Now, when you read the Bible, you'll see that there's a Sea of Galilee, Lake of Gennesaret, and there's another name for that same body of water. It just eludes me right now. But anyways, it's all the same body of water. And anyways, they're on the Lake Gennesaret, and from Peter's fishing boat, he's teaching the people. Now, when he's done speaking, he turns to Peter, and Peter and his fellow fishermen are over there cleaning their nets, and he says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought." Peter tells the Lord, "Man, we toiled all night." Now, how many think he didn't know that? He needed to be informed, didn't he? And he said, "We taken nothing." Now, how many think he didn't observe that they didn't take anything? "But at your word, I'll let down the net." Now, he didn't let down both, but he did let down one, right? And when he let it down, he caught so much fish that the net broke. Now, the part of the story that I want to emphasize is in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, where Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep." What he's saying is, Peter, rest of you guys, all you believers out there, you need to be all in when it comes to using your faith. It's time we stop just getting our toes wet near the shore. We need to go all the way when it comes to putting our trust in His Word, and we need to put it into practice. One can get faith by obeying His every command. Does He not command us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Does He command us to witness? Does He command us to tithe? Does He command us to read His Word and pray? Does He command we give Him preeminence in our life? Does He command that we be Spirit-filled? Yes, He does. You say, but preacher, there are times when I don't feel like doing those things. Join the club. But I say, do them anyway. Obey His command and see if your faith is an increase for doing so. Your feelings are not part of the faith life. Think with me. What is the basis for faith? Is it not a right relationship with God that is a result of calling upon Jesus? For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. What is the instrument of faith? Is it not the Word of God with its untold wealth of precious and exceeding great promises? Then how do we use the faith found in the Scripture? Well, we use that faith by obeying the commands of God, and since we are commanded to die to self, feelings should have no impact on whether or not we practice the faith. Faith and obedience are bound up in the same bundle. He that obeys God trusts God, and he that trusts God obeys God. There are times when we must obey even when common sense would dictate otherwise. I have often wondered what crossed Peter's mind when Jesus told him that day to launch out into the deep and drop his nets. You know, he just got done fishing all night long, and he caught nothing. All he did was wet his net. Perhaps he thought, does this one who was a carpenter by trade know anything about fishing? Any fisherman knows that on the Sea of Galilee, you catch fish at night, and you do so in shallow water. Not in the daytime, in the deep. What the Lord asked Peter to do defied all common sense. Yet he exercised his faith in what the Lord had said, and he was rewarded. Let not a lack of faith deter you, but obey the Lord even if it doesn't make sense to you. And see if the Lord doesn't move on your behalf. Simply do what He says and see if you think what you think is impossible is now made possible by God. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are what? Possible with God. Meaning you need to use your faith, you need to trust Him to do what He has said. In Mark 9:23, He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So can God really answer that prayer that you have? Can He really solve the problem that you are faced with? Can He really lift that burden that you are carrying? Will He really open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing if you give as required? Does the prayer of faith really save the sick? Earl believes that. He knows it happened. It happened to him. I believe Carissa's faith was increased the other day. Called me and called up Connie and
talked to her about being in some pain, and Connie said, we need to pray for Carissa. We joined hands, we prayed for her, and what, moments later, her pain, what, was gone. Huh.
Can he really save those who are hardened in sin if we witness to them? Can he use someone like us in his service? Sure he can. Did not God answer Joshua's prayer for the sun and the moon to stand still? That's incredible, isn't it? Did not God solve the problem Israel faced at the Red Sea by opening it up and having his people cross through its midst on dry land? Did he not take the burden of Paul's thorn in the flesh by giving him grace to bear it? Did he not take care of the widow who threw in her two mites into the treasury? You say, how do you know that, preacher? I know it by experience. Doesn't say so in the Word of God, but I'm sure she just didn't walk out and die of starvation. Did he not heal the demon-possessed lad as the father requested? Did he not save the maniac of Gadara? And did he not use the least of all saints and the chiefest of sinners in his service for him? Faith, my friend, is grasping of almighty power, putting my hand in the hand of God, awaiting the grand and blessed hour in which the things impossible to me become the possible, O Lord, through thee. Faith rests on God's word. It is increased through reading it. It's increased by praying for more faith and then using it by obeying his commands at all times. It's more than believing that God can. It is believing that God will. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.